The Syrian government has cleared itself of any involvement in the Hula massacre, a preliminary investigation finding it was armed rebel groups, not government forces, who carried out the atrocity. The US Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, has said overnight the case for military intervention in Syria grows by the day. The UN chief, Ban Ki-moon, is warning Syria that a civil war would be catastrophic. Britain's ambassador to the UN joins us shortly, but first to the growing regional concern about events in Syria. Earlier this year, Israeli academic and journalist Jonathan Speier was smuggled across the Turkish border into Syria. On horseback with local help, he made his way to Idlib and spent a week with the rebels from the Free Syrian Army. 2 weeks after his return home, the Syrian army took the town. Jonathan Speier is a senior research fellow at Israel's Centre for Global Research and International Affairs, and he's in Australia this week, and he's in our breakfast studio this morning. Jonathan Speier, welcome again to breakfast.
Thanks very much. Good morning, Fran.
Jonathan, what's your response to the Syrian government clearing itself of any involvement in the Hula massacre?
Well, this is very familiar, and this is a very familiar pattern of behaviour and statements from the Syrian regime. Of course, 12,000 people have died over the last 14 months, and the regime consistently has denied connections to the killings, has tried to blame armed terrorists, is the usual phrase that it uses. But this is really transparently thin excuses because, of course, Human Rights Watch and other organisations have been inside in Syria, have done work on the ground and have seen exactly who's responsible for the killings and how they took place, the patterns of activities of the army and the Shabiha paramilitaries as they go through the towns carrying out the killings. So this is really beyond thin in terms of an excuse from the regime.
How concerned is Israel about an all-out civil war in Syria?
First of all, I think it's important to note that a civil war in Syria is already taking place, is already on. So in a certain sense, the phraseology that's still being used by the international community of sort of they're on the verge of a civil war, you know, a civil war is on. The two sides are closely mismatched.
It is very limited. We were speaking to a journalist on the ground there in Damascus this week, and he made the point that it was really only in tiny pockets of the country, that most of the country is going about life as usual.
I would say that less and less of the country is going about life as usual. It's quite correct to say that the fighting has been geographically limited, but to quite significant sections of the country, but not including urban Damascus. That is correct to say. So in that respect, I would say that, you know, yeah, it's correct that it's still limited. Yeah, there are concerns in Israel. Having said that, Israel has come to the conclusion that it would be good for its interest if Assad were to fall. And that relates to Israel's view that the Iran-led regional coalition, of which, of course, Assad Syria is an important member, is the main strategic threat to Israel. So if Assad were to fall, that would constitute a very major blow to that alliance, and therefore that's a good thing for Israel.
I'll come to back to that in a minute, but is that the official Israeli government position now?
Yeah, that's very much what you're hearing also from ministers and also from sort of senior figures in the policymaking establishment when one speaks to them.
Let's get to your personal experience, your week or two in Idlib with the Free Syrian Army. Are these rebel fighters Syrians? Because the Syrian government and others suggesting many of these rebel forces are foreign terrorists.
Mm. Well, I had the experience of being with rebel fighters in three towns in Idlib province, in Idlib city itself, in Binish and in Saramin, spoke to a lot of different people, and I didn't get any impression at all that any of these men were foreigners. Certainly some of them were Sunni Islamists, you know, jihadi types. Those types are certainly there, but the majority of the men, the fighters that I came across, were of two types, either recent deserters from the army, including fighters and officers from some pretty top units, some of the airborne units of the army, or civilians from the Idlib area who'd simply decided they were against the regime and it was time to take up arms against it to try to bring Assad down. So in other words, these were ordinary people. These were not either foreigners or, for the most part, sort of ideological Islamist
types. That was in February. Is it changing? Because there are reports that it is changing.
I think it would be fair to say that undoubtedly, you know, you're now seeing the arrival of foreign jihadi fighters, you know, coming into Syria in order to take on the regime. I wouldn't say that's still the main type, the main sort of complexion of the insurgency, but certainly those figures are there.
What we are seeing too is the Free Syrian Army being supported by Saudi Arabia and Qatar,
yes.
So two Sunni powers, if you like, supporting this the Sunni Islamist element of this revolt. And you've written that the West, by failing to engage with all of the Syrian opposition, all the civilians, all the Christians, all elements
yes,
of
indeed.
It, they've risked turning this uprising into what Bashar al-Assad always said it was, a fundamentalist Sunni Islamist revolt.
I think that's absolutely correct. I think it's very important to stress this. You know, contracting out building the political opposition to Turkey, contracting out building the military opposition to Saudi Arabia and Qatar will mean, and we shouldn't be surprised that it will mean this, that those countries, you know, Sunni Islamic countries, Islamist inclined themselves, will tend to find people like themselves in Syria to support, and therefore that will tend to produce, you know, an Islamist-type political and military opposition. It doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way. But in order for it not to be that way, we're going to have to see a much more hands-on approach from the West, I think.
It's interesting alliances being formed here. I mean, the alliances you're talking about there would have some of the people you want to help who are aligned with Hamas in Gaza, and of course that's the kind of direct enemy, if you like, of Israel.
Mm. Well, that's absolutely correct. I think from a strategic point of view, as opposed to a humanitarian point of view for a moment, you know, this comes back to the issue of the more dangerous enemy and the less dangerous one. You know, the Iranians and their friends are the really potent and dangerous enemy from an Israeli point of view. So in a certain sense, more or less anything which can stand against them, you know, will be better than that bloc. So if Assad can be brought down, and that can mean the ending of that sort of contiguous line of pro-Iranian states, Iraq, Syria and Lebanon, all the way to the Mediterranean, that'll be good from a strategic point of view. From a human point of view, well, that's quite correct. Politics brings strange bedfellows, and I think insurgency and conflict in the Middle East certainly does too.
So what you're articulating there is the kind of theory being espoused by the White House overnight. The White House spokesperson said, let me quote, "The consequences of not taking firm action are more violence. Violence that spills over Syria's borders and results even greater participation in this by Iran and others to the point it becomes a proxy war."
Well, I think, first of all, that's absolutely correct. And the other thing is, if one does not have increased intervention, what I think we are certainly going to see in Syria is a long civil war going on possibly into years, and with a lot more innocent people dying.
So Hillary Clinton overnight is ramping up the pressure on Russia. What does Israel want from Russia?
Well, I think what all sides who support the downfall of Assad, including Israel in this respect, want from Russia is for Russia to withdraw its current 100% support for the regime. But until that happens, I think that Assad can sleep well, can feel pretty safe, because right now he has support from Russia financially and also in terms of armaments, support from Iran, support from Hezbollah. And it's really that very strong and determined international coalition standing behind Bashar Assad, which is keeping him in his place right now. And for as long as that's there, it's very hard to see how he can be brought down. So the issue of Russia is absolutely crucial and central. Right now, we're not seeing any indication, by the way, that Russia is looking to change its stance of support towards Assad.
Jonathan Speier, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Dr. Jonathan Speier is a Senior Research Fellow at Israel's Center for Global Research in International Affairs, and he's here in Australia this week as a guest of the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council. It's 17 to 7.